saying to Jeffrey, Elizabeth, and Stephen, who were visitors from Los Angeles and Merced, and they came today to an Indonesian church, and they get an English message. And the Indonesian pastor, now I'm not the Indonesian pastor. I think you recognize that. You had an idea about that, didn't you? I'm not the Indonesian pastor. But we welcome you to the service. We're glad you're here. We trust that the Lord has a word. The Lord has a message for you. You will receive and remember that word. I read, I'm preaching on unity again this week. It's a different message, but nevertheless on unity. And last week, as I spoke about unity, someone, I took it, they were joking. I hope they were joking. No, they were. I'm sure they were, because the person has a beautiful spirit. But they said, you pop the whip. Pop the whip. And I said, did you feel that I popped the whip? Yep. She said, we needed it. Now, the popping of the whip, you feel a sting, don't you? Oh, that one hurt. Where I grew up, we had cattle. And so we had an 18-foot long whip. They were for the bulls. And when you wanted to get their attention, you snap that whip like that. My dad could snap it. It was too big for me. I didn't snap it. And they would snap that. It hit that bull and boom. You better believe they moved. Now, I wouldn't recommend this at all. But sometimes my horse would get stubborn, not want to do. You want to go right, they'd go left. You want to go forward, they go backwards. And they wouldn't mind. And they would pop. My dad would pop that horse with that bull whip. I tell you what, he moved. He almost left me. In fact, one time did. I fell to the ground when he took off. But I thought of that, cracking the whip. Because you think of that stinging. And I would not preach a message to you purposely seeking to sting. Now, if the Lord stings, if the Lord catches us someplace, that's good. I'm here for that. That the Lord would speak to our hearts and in some way would cause us to be uncomfortable. And today, as you hear this message, or last week perhaps, you think about unity. If there was something, one thing that spoke to you, yeah, I just can't get that out of my mind. You would, or somebody, some experience that you had where the unity that God intends was broken. Maybe it was between you and a family member or somebody and a family, you and a former worker in your workplace or a neighbor or who knows who. But if you felt something, yeah, that was disunity. I would ask you to take that to the Lord immediately. I'm speaking to myself. I'm speaking to myself here. When I'm looking at you, I'm talking to me. And if there's anything with anybody that I feel has caused disunity, I will seek to make that right. And so today, today is another special day other than it's the Lord's Day and we worship the Lord. It's a very special day for Sharon and me. Today is our first anniversary of being English pastors here at the church. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Let's hear it. No, you should be clapping for you, and especially the English congregation, and they would clap for themselves. But we want to thank you, Sharon and I, and it's hard to believe. This is November 3rd. We began the first Sunday in November last year, and a year has gone by, whether we recognize it or not. It has gone by like a blur, hasn't it? It's gone by so fast. But we thank you and thank Pastor Marcus and Kristen for the welcome. And thank you every, all the time we're together. You welcome us and you love us. And we thank you for that. Some time ago, I read something that was humorous. In fact, it's a joke that I've heard this joke, and I don't know if I've told it. But It had a serious, the person that wrote this wrote it from a serious standpoint. And they told the story. It said a man was found on an island. He had it wrecked. And you've heard stories like this where they were the only survivor and they wrecked on an island. And they survived and they, for however they survived. But this man was there. And he had been so long by himself. And so some people came by and they rescued him. Some people came to that island and they found him and they helped him. But before they took him off the island, he said, just a minute, come over here with me. And I want to take you out to you. And I'm leaving these things and I won't see him anymore, but I want you to see them. He said, this hut here, this house, is the house that I built with my own hands. And it was my house. And they pointed over there. He said, that building over there is a church. I built that church with my own hands. And then he started to walk away. He said, wait a minute. The fellow asked, what is that building over there? He said, oh, that's the church I used to attend. Do I need to explain the jokes? That's the church I used to attend, but no longer attend. Well, now, sometimes people see that as a joke. I don't know how it is in other parts of the world, but it's this way in America. Two cars, two kids, two dogs, half a dozen churches we attended. Now, this isn't necessarily bad if we've attended several churches. I know there's some of you that have, that it isn't necessarily bad. There's times when God would move us on. We'd be in a good church. We'd be fulfilled. But God would speak to us and we move on to take our abilities, our resources, our energy and use them in another part of the body of believers. In other words, we left for the right reasons. Too often, selfishness, pride, unforgiveness, a mentality that the church exists to meet my needs. I'm going to say that again. The church exists to meet my needs. And when that is not meeting my needs, then there's going to be a split. And too often this prevails in the church. And we become angry and dissatisfied. If you attend church and say the church attends to meet my needs, it won't. I can guarantee you it won't be long until you'll be angry. It won't be long until you'll be dissatisfied. It won't be long until you'll be divided. It won't be long until you'll become upset. Because there is disunity for all the wrong reasons rather than the right reasons. Disunity grieves. Disunity grieves, saddens. Whoever, you, me, God, disunity is, it saddens the heart of God and brings dishonor to his name. It saddens his heart and brings dishonor to his name. You see, unity is on the forefront of everything you read. Everything God says to his people, read the scripture and try to avoid it. It's in everything that he says in his word. God says in his word, all through his word. He says in the book, in his scripture, have you ever seen how many one another's there are? A word spoken to you about one another. One another. I'm one, Anton is another, Sharon is another, Fair is another. Olivia is another. One, another. I have these lists, and I'd like to have, I can't move. Okay. Shot at me again. Okay, I'll say, Ferry and Maria, would you pass those out for me, please? This is a list of one another's. Oh, boy. I'm sorry, Rena, I can't imagine what it's doing for you. But I'll try to stay still. Okay. Stand. I think it's this pocket over here. You're going to come and search again. I'll just use this mic here. Okay. Okay. All right, now that's good. Now I can move around. Okay. These are the scriptures that are listed, as we talk about unity, listed all through the scripture, one another's, how we are to relate to one another. There is no other subject like this in the scripture where you find verse after verse after verse says for us, the church. We are the church. Amen? We are the church. Amen? Okay. Then this is a word to you, to me, one another. I would like anybody that's, you see something on there that's meaningful to you, just stand and read it right now. Anybody? Well, let me start this way. Who wants to be second? Stand and read. Read one of them. You want to read one? Nobody wants to be second either. Go ahead. Just stand up. Barry? Read in a loud voice.
Be at peace.
Oh, be at peace with each other. Which number is that? Number one. Oh, number one, be at peace. Someone else. Thank you, Barry. Someone else stand up and read one. Maria? Yeah, love one another. Love. And you recognize in these, there is not if it's possible. No, he says it's absolute. Love one another. Somebody else. Patty? Yeah, honor one another above yourselves. Sophie? Yeah, carry each one's burden. You're carrying. Somebody, Nathan. Live in harmony with one another. Thank you, Wendy. Oh, wow. Consider others better than yourself. Someone else. Accept one another. Oh, thank you, Lika. Accept one another if you're dressed right, if you cleaned up, if you talk like me, if you went to school where I went to school, talk. No, he said, just accept that person. Accept one another. Someone else. Winnie? Yep, you keep on devouring one another. Yeah. Nathan? Real loud. Yes, thank you. Carry each other's burdens. Anybody else? Okay, when you come together, yeah, that's a good one, Hatta. I thank you for that. When you come down, we're all going to wait for one another, right, to cross the way there in a moment, in a little bit. Okay, Tony, Anthony. Stop passing judgment on one another. Okay, someone else. Forgiving one another. Yep. Forgiving. Someone else. You stand up and say it nice and loud voice. Galatians 5:13. Oh, thank you. Serve one another in love. Mitra? In humility, consider others better than yourself. Nathan? Okay. All right. Thank you. Sugi? Pray for each other. That's a good one. Thank you, Sugi. Yeah, I had a lot more response than I anticipated this morning. I thought I would ask and I was planning on, I would go ahead and say one. I didn't, or my wife would say one. But you really got onto this because it's the Word of God. It's what God is saying to you today. These are absolutes for us to carry out, not to consider. Well, I wish I could do that. Now, how many of you have dreams for our church? I remember Eddie and Rena's daughter when she got married. You remember that? It was a Saturday, and the church was filled. And I sat there, and I began to think how beautiful that looked as people sang, and the church was filled. How many of you think of that? Lord, fill our church. Bring people in. Not for the standpoint of us having it filled and looks pretty and whatever, but because people's needs are being met. There are people in our community who are hurting, are lost. Their lives are broken. Their families are broken. And we need to share with them a word. A word that they can, they need to say, where is the church? Sharon's visiting someone today that it's the church doesn't love us. And that's what I talk about, I mean, when I'm talking about a church filled, a church loving. What are your dreams for the church? I think of Sunday school. What if we had Sunday school? Lots of children, not just our children, but children. And what if we had teachers for every, we didn't even, wouldn't have to go scurrying about and looking for another one, looking for another one, looking, but we had teachers just fill. That's my job, they would say. That's my calling. I want to do that. And see, for every age group, if we had children, Sunday school classes for all. How about baptisms? Year before last, the deacons stated, I heard this in a meeting, they stated that we had no baptisms. Last year, I know we had one, or this year, I mean. Last year, we had none. This year, we did have one, D, who doesn't live here. He lives in Texas. Eddie and Rena's son-in-law. He's baptized. Outside of him, I don't know if there was. Could that be 2 years without people confessing Jesus Christ? 2 years has gone by without people making a statement and saying, I want to be a part of the church. It ought to be a dream. Could we dream that we'd have baptisms every month? What's standing in the way? Just one little thing. Something that we can control. Now, something that I control, something that you can control. That's one another's. Or unity. Last week, I talked about unity, and I don't know if you remember, but it was the fourth chapter of Ephesians, but it was the first verse 3. And we talked, what is the unity of the Spirit? He talks about maintaining unity of spirit in the bond of peace. So what is the unity of the Spirit? We need to think about that and come to grips with what it is, because he's asking us to maintain that. Unity of the Spirit, I would just give you one word, oneness. Oneness. So it begins with me, oneness. I'm in right relationship with the Lord. It's at my home with my family, a right relationship with my home. And then it follows me out the door. Sometimes we think that, it's just something I said to my children. It's okay. No, it's not okay. It's just something I said to my wife or to my husband. It's okay. No, it's not okay. You see, because unity is of God, and when we're not walking in unity, we're not walking in His Spirit. We talked about what is the unity of spirit? Oneness. And then we talked about we're on the maintenance team. Not create unity. You don't create it, but you can maintain it. And when any of those one another's that we read today, when they are violated, when you've broken those, you've no longer continued to be on the maintenance team. Or I would better say, you are not maintaining the unity of spirit. And then he said the bond of peace. In the bond of peace. Everything that God does is shalom, peace, peace. Where there is unity, there is peace. Oh, I love that. Where there is unity, there is peace. And where there is disunity, there's strife. Now, the message today, it'll be short. I'll shorten it. But I don't know if you noticed the title or not. The Monster in the Mouth. Ooh, what's that? The monster, I know what that is, in the mouth. I'm not talking about having bad breath. Now that could be a monster, couldn't it? It sure could. But he says in Ephesians, pay close attention to what he is saying. He says in verse 25, therefore laying aside all falsehood, speak truth each other. To speak truth one of you to each other. For we are members one of another. Be angry and yet do not sin. Let sin go down. Do not let the sun go down in your anger. It says be angry but don't sin. Sin causes disunity. Verse 27, and do not give an opportunity for the devil. The devil takes opportunity every time. Every time disunity is there, whether it's with my spouse, whether it's with children, whether it's with a fellow worker, the devil is involved. And verse 29 is a verse I want you to think about today. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it may give grace to those who hear. Let no unwholesome, I don't know what you think about unwholesome, but every time I think about unwholesome, I saw this just recently on TV, an advertisement. I don't know what they're advertising, but I saw this. It's something I've thought for years. When I read this scripture the first time, years ago, let no unwholesome, the word I thought of was like milk. It has an expiration date, but it had been in there not a week too long or a month too long, but several months had been in the refrigerator, and you had some nice cereal, and you poured the milk out, and it came out in chunks. You had to shake it, and chunks came out. That's what I consider unwholesome. Now, you might have something else, and you can think of what is unwholesome. So I think of three things in this passage of Scripture. Do not, he says, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according that might give grace. So you have a word to be you have a word that's going to come out of your mouth. It will, your choice, which it is. It's going to be hurtful or it's going to be helpful. Hurtful. Let no one, so the three parts of this message are hurtful, healthful, helpful. I would say those clear. Hurtful is the first thing Paul talks about. Healthful, health, like in my health. Healthful, and then helpful. Help, like helping somebody. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. I think of damaging or physically causing pain in a person. The mouth can do the most damage in the body. We give a cutting remark and then people say, oh, I was just joking. Were you? That is something I would be aware of if you do that as a regular habit. I know somebody that I'm close to, not Sharon, so don't pick on her. But somebody I am close to, who a lot of times comes with a remark and says, just joking. We say things, and then to get ourselves off the hook, we say, just joking. That's to don't take anything. Don't feel anything. Or we don't say something to a person when we're with them, and when we're away, we talk something different. You know, the Bible says a lot of things about gossip, doesn't it? Jesus talked a lot about gossip. But, you know, it's like seeing somebody at church. You say, what a beautiful dress you have. You look good in that dress. And then church is over. You go out and get in your car and you're driving home. You said, did you see that dress she had? They must have had a special clearance rack at the Salvation Army, I think. But talking outside of the person's face, that's creates disunity. That's the tongue. It's hurtful. The tongue has the opportunity to bless or to hurt. Which will it be? The tongue is very hurtful. James talks about it being a fire. What we think of these fires in California. And I had a friend from Atlanta call me this week. He said, call to see if you're all right. He thought we still lived in the mountains, and he was wondering if the fires. And the pictures that come now that you see in the news or in the papers, that they see California, you see fires. It's awful. But the fires start with one little spark, don't they? Just one little. And James talks about the tongue being that fire. Can start that fire. Now, helpful, but only, now don't speak words that are negative, words that are harmful. Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but only such a word is good for edification. I like that word, edification, edified. I like to be edified. Now, if you know what edified means, it means built up. And Sharon is a good edifier. The Lord knew that I needed edification. And so he put Sharon and I together. And she's a blessing in that way, edified. Also, when she needs to speak the truth, she can do that too. But edifying is a good word. It means to uplift, to enlighten, to inform. It was used in the Greek when a person was building a house. Edification. Now, mutual edification, mutual building up. Mutual means together, one another. Building up involves helping one another along the road to Christ-likeness. It means then I am helping one another. We're helping one another along the road to Christ-likeness. That's our goal, isn't it? To be like Jesus. And we're helping one another. And that's our goal. As we help one another, we're edifying one another. And it requires this helping one another to achieve Christ-likeness. It requires the participation of all the members of the church. It does. It requires all of us. Not just a little bit here and a little bit there, but every one of us. I wonder, in Indonesia, do you have a little... Do you have beavers? You know what a beaver is? No. Shake your head so I see you're awake. Okay. You know where beavers are. Do you have beavers in Indonesia? People said, no, we don't. Okay. They said, yes, we do. Now, do you have beavers? Beavers are little animals. They like the water, but they can get in or out of the water, about so big like that, about the size of a raccoon, and they swim in the water. Do you have those in Indonesia? No, don't think so. Okay. Good. Excuse me? Nutria? I'm sorry. I didn't understand, Rusty. But, okay. Beavers like the water. And sometimes we're more like beavers than we are like fish. Beavers will take a piece of wood and they'll gnaw on it with their teeth. They have strong teeth. And they'll gnaw on it with their teeth and take that one stick and they'll put it down in a place between rocks in the water. Just one stick. Does it affect the flow of the water? No. The water flows on a beautiful river. You walk and say, what a beautiful river this is. and another beaver chews on a twig, on a stick, breaks it off. He takes it to, and takes it and places between the rocks. And then it just seemed no harm done. Does that stop the river? No, it doesn't stop the river. It keeps on. But the beavers, they do that every day. And every day, until one day you look at the river that was a beautiful river. And it's, what happened to the water? What happened to the water? It's dammed up. The beaver did his work. He dammed it up. Now, what are the sticks that are damming up the water? Critical words. Disunity. And not taking ownership for it. Being, saying something that we know is hurtful, and it creates disunity among the body, and then walking away from it, not owning it, not coming back. Because coming back means I have to say, not have to say, but will say, I'm sorry, yes, forgive me. And people do not want to walk over that, and so they stay back. They built their dam as a beaver, and they place their stick there, and then they go back. And they'll find another stick and come and bring it there. And eventually, it has its effect. That's what disunity does. That's what words do. That's why Paul says in this passage of Scripture, let no unwholesome word. That means that I would not say an unwholesome word to any one of you. I would not say an unwholesome word, but only a word such as good for edification, that it might give help in the time of need. Helpful. Helpful. The person's in need. Who's in need? Everyone. Is there anybody here today that doesn't have a need? Anybody here? I'm okay. I don't have any needs. Everyone in here has a need. Everyone in here needs grace. Everyone in here needs a touch from God. Maybe it should begin with back home, behind the front door of your house. I attended a retreat. This was a different retreat up at Hume Lake. And that retreat, the director of the camp spoke to the men just to greet them and welcome to the camp. But the camp, the theme that the preacher was preaching on was the Holy Spirit. And so the camp, the executive director of camp, of Hugh Blake, stood before the men. He said, men, I know you're going to hear a good word regarding the Holy Spirit on this Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday, and you'll be filled. But let me just say one thing to you. He said the acid test of the Spirit-filled life is behind the front door of your home. What was he saying? He said if you want a test, if it's authentic, the Spirit-filled life is authentic, it's real, go behind the front door of your home. Outside, it's all plastic. If you're pretending to be filled with the Spirit, but not filled with the Spirit, outside, it's all plastic. That means I'm who I'm at home. I'm not that person out there, in church or anywhere. I pray today that we would not be like beavers. We would not dam up the river, the flow. You see, that's why he said where the Spirit is, there's peace. Where the Spirit is, there's peace. The Spirit wants to work and flow through our church, wants to fill this church. I believe it. They may not all speak Indonesian. Maybe none of them will speak Indonesian. But I believe that the Lord wants to fill the church. He wants to have Sunday school classes. He wants to have baptism, many other things. You dream also. Dream deeper. Dream deeper until your dream becomes your prayer. And we see God do what he wants to do. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this morning.